And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe De Leon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, it looked like this weekend that some of the guys that I've been hyping up as breakout players look pretty good at these spring games. That's all I'm going to say before we get into it.
So I almost tweeted this out, and then I didn't want to.
Oh, no.
No, I'm serious. Like, this isn't bad.
Okay.
People need to pick a side. Either spring games, either you're all in on spring games and think it is transferable to the regular season. Now, I'm not saying you. I'm saying, for yesterday, as an example. Okay, Arch Manning looked great. Not denying that whatsoever. You would have thought the second coming of Jesus Christ was coming. He's not rolling with the ones. Okay,
right.
Looked fantastic. And look, as a kid, a guy who covered him all throughout high school, he looked bigger. He looked more decisive. Physically, he was bigger, right? Like, put on some muscle. He looks a lot better. Not taking anything away from Arch. But then you have people on three and other places. I love them. Love these guys that do these college football content. Oh, my God. You guys all said that Arch Manning couldn't play. Calm down. So I do think, Joe, before we get into all these spring games, we got like nine to break down. You need to pick a side. Now, I do think that there's things you can take away from it, like collective groups. But I just want to caution everybody, it's a spring game now.
I disagree. I actually don't think I agree with what you're saying, but I disagree on the notion that you have to pick a side. I think that the problem is after the spring games happen, and we do this in the NFL preseason as well, is that people try to pick sides. And I think that it's more linear. It's just straight down the middle. It's not, this isn't a spectrum of opinions. All it is that
I agree with you on that, but you can't say someone's a Heisman Trophy candidate off of a spring game.
That's my point. And I kind of said this last week when we led into the reactions to last week's spring games, is that we're going to talk about stuff that happened, but it's all with a grain of salt. Just because we say one guy looked bad, like DJU looked bad, doesn't mean that he is going to play horribly this upcoming season. It just means that there is work that needs to be done. And if young guys that are sophomores or redshirt freshmen take a nice step forward, it's just a positive little sample, just a tiny sample, not an open indicator that this guy is going to be an All-American, just a little bit of a sample that this player is improving and taking steps forward. All it should be is just information collection. There no hot takes should come.
I agree. Two things about you, just what you just said. Let me issue one of them in the chat. You're here every single episode. Did I ever once say that Quinshon Judkins was going back to Ole Miss?
I think that what you said was misinterpreted. You made a comment that was like, oh, I don't know. It was very sarcastic. It wasn't like a serious comment.
Okay. Then be quiet in the comments. Number two. On Friday, I got run through the ringer from very, and I'm talking about very insecure, lifted truck with big tires, small penis having ass, Florida State fans. I told you, and we told you, this is what was going on with DJU. Joe, he's not going to change. We also said that their team is going to be really good. You better get ready to make a QB change if you want to make the playoff. We're going to get to that. I'm not letting up on this. But God forbid, here's the truth. The big three in Florida, Florida, Miami, Florida State, the fan bases need to grow up. I know you love trolling everybody, but you can't say one thing about, hey, man, I don't think DJU is ready for this moment. Okay, he goes 12 of 26. Then their whole fan base is, oh, man, he lit it up. Where did he lit it up? The only thing he lit up yesterday was the joint he smoked on 420.
Wait, who was saying that he played well?
Whoa, buddy, go to Florida State Twitter.
The only positive reaction you can have on DJU's performance is that oh, he had some nice throws, but obviously work needs to be done. Like that is the only way to positively spin that. I am disappointed if they think that he played outrageously well. There is a stark difference between Cam Morgan and him.
They're going to win the ACC and be an undefeated team coming out of it.
I think that they can win the ACC, but DJ, you can't play
like
that.
Are you going to put all your eggs in that basket?
No. I think that them and Miami right now are vying to win it, but there is a much closer race than there was last year.
Arch Manning, though, did have a good day at quarterback. We'll talk about him and the University of Texas. Texas A&M on offense looked like that they couldn't buy with all the money that they had offensive yardage. I purposely didn't say anything to you about this next team, Notre Dame. I'm going to let you say what you need to say, okay, in reference to them.
You better not say some dumb shit. This is the only one that I'm ready to go to war with you over.
Okay. Can I tell you the reality?
Please don't say that they don't have the receivers. You better not say that they don't have
the receivers. Why would you say that I was going to say that?
Because you say it every season. You said it when we started doing this as a Saturday show. You said it the whole offseason last year. You said it during the season.
They have one receiver that's been drafted since we've been starting this.
No, but there's been a transition period between head coaches.
All right. Well, Brian Kelly's about to have four of them. Okay. Nevertheless.
Did you recruit those four guys? He didn't recruit Brian Thomas or Malik Nabers.
No. But you think that that's going to change in Louisiana? Good luck. This is a good thing and a bad thing. You ready?
Okay.
Notre Dame is the exact same team as last year.
No, they're not.
Okay.
You can't come to that conclusion when Riley Leonard didn't play.
I will bet my entire house on that. Now, they're going to have a better record because they don't play the same tough as scheduled as they did last year. The same exact team. All right.
No.
Oklahoma, Jackson Arnold, not too bad of a performance. And also, Burks at wide receiver. Hello.
I will save my hype up for when we get to the Oklahoma reaction. But yeah, Jackson Arnold looked good. I think that the better takeaway is that they didn't really have a ton of receiver talent. It felt like last year, and their offense looks more explosive. Far more explosive.
They didn't have offensive linemen, too. And did we watch the same game? Because if we watch the same game,
they just brought in a kid from SMU. I know. Very good.
But did you, I mean, Joe, when we break that game down and they're running all over the place, what am I supposed to take of that? Now, they did get some sacks, and I'll give them that. So we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah.
USC, Michigan, Mississippi State, we will all get to as well. We're going to have to punt South Carolina to tomorrow. Jaden Rashada also hit the transfer portal, Joe.
Yeah, that one's probably the biggest one, and it's because he's a quarterback. Obviously, we're going to shine a much bigger light on a quarterback hitting the portal, but I think that he needs to search for the best situation, and he shouldn't rush this. I really don't, because the clock is ticking in a way.
I do think that the Sellers kid at South Carolina, thinking about this too, is going to be pretty decent. In reference to Rashada, the best thing that can happen to him is him going to Georgia.
Why did you bring up Sellers? Why did you bring up, you just trying to
no, because I see people talking about it in the comments, and I wanted, because we won't talk about it tonight. Somebody said something about South Carolina. South Carolina is used to being punted on. Said Elks. I do think that the Sellers kid looked pretty good.
I saw a couple of highlights. His performance, and I never disparaged his play. Just made a dumb joke that didn't land.
Oh, but I forgot about that. I forgot.
That was why I was giving you shit. How could you forget about that? That's like that's like our biggest controversy.
Because Joe, at least once every other week, somebody takes a clip of something that we say,
puts it on
Twitter, it goes viral, and then we're me and you are over here fighting for our freaking lives.
Well, this is why you and I know we got to get to the break, but this is why I texted you and I'm like, I'm not going to respond. I'm just not going to respond when people try to be dickheads, because the reality of it is, because now this show has started to pick up a lot more steam, and I not patting ourselves on the back or anything, but I'm willing to bet that this season the clipping stuff during the season is going to be a lot more frequent than it was last year. I'm telling you that right
it
now.
Wasn't after we started becoming right about things. The only thing that was clipped for me was Washington, but
well, and then you had that one Texas clip that got clipped also.
Texas
A&M. I'm going to get clipped a lot though, because I say a lot of dumb shit.
Texas A&M still has more wins than the University of Texas in the last decade. So, I mean,
weren't wrong.
Not wrong, but context sometimes goes out of
yep
the window. All right, let's get rolling. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. If you're on Facebook, like, share to all those pages, share to all those social media groups. If you're watching and listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, we got so much we need to break down. I don't know if it's going to take us an hour and 30, but we're going to try to get all to it. Let's talk about what we saw college football on the field, man. Feels so good to talk about football instead of those other stuff that we got to talk about on the weekly basis. Well, let's get to it. Talk about our good friends at BetOnline. We're back next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, betonline.ag.
We're back!
All right. By the way, I got to bring up this comment because it's from our guy here. Josh Pate, late kick Josh, by the way.
Second appearance.
I know, my man. So there was a comment earlier from Scott that says Georgia and Ohio State are two overly hyped teams, and Pate responds with, Georgia and Ohio State are badly overhyped relative to whomst. I need to get out of this line.
I love Josh Pate. He's one of my favorite college football analysts. I do not wish upon him hanging out in the comments.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing.
I love our listeners, but we have some of the worst comments, the most negative, mean comments out of any show in college football. And maybe we attract it because we're really loud and we're angry when we talk on this show. We're very different than the other ones, but I'm sorry, Josh.
I don't know. I do think that his speaker series with coaches, dude, I do think that the Mac Brown sit down was arguably the best piece of content that we have had this offseason. So we'll see Josh at 7 o'clock on Late Kick Josh. You can check him out. Thank you for being here, good sir. Joe, we are going to not take this in any specific order. We're just going to go down through the list of teams. The first team that I got listed down is Florida State, mainly due to the fact our show got taken to, I don't even know what the real word is, but a lot of
it was out of context. It was out of
context. Very much out of context. So let's break down their spring game, because what we said was we were talking about Damian Martinez, if he went to Miami, and we got talking about DJU, and because they played with one another. Joe, I feel more validated about a quarterback than I've ever felt validated, because I said, listen, Damian Martinez last year was a big reason why Oregon State had to get them out of a lot of holes that they were in. Joe, we talked about that during the entire season, right? About how Damian Martinez was picking up first downs on 3rd and 7 to keep them alive. Joe, the biggest thing for me taken out of that, I thought their defensive line was really good. I thought their front seven played really fast. I thought their secondary was good. But I got to focus on DJU and the inefficiency that he had. What says you?
So before we kind of dig in on the offensive concerns, the defensive line to me is unbelievable. And it's crazy to look at how good that they were last year. And then I can project and feel maybe that they could be better this upcoming year. They lived and died on how good their defensive line was. And I love that Marvin Jones Jr. got the opportunity to remove himself from the shadow of just having to be on a very deep defensive line And he looked amazing, man. Like I think
he
is somebody that I think really deserves to get credit for how good he could be in 2024. If we're going to be hyperbolic, I think that that's a fair one because he really cooked their run game. There were a ton of running backs, man, that they just like, I can't even sit here and name all of them. It felt like every other big splash play offensively was a different running back, whether it was the first one or the fourth one that was getting a big play. So I think the running back room looked pretty strong. They are going to be, as we said, one of the top two teams in the ACC. No lower, no higher. But they're going to live and die on how good DJU is. DJU can't play like that if they expect to win the ACC again. Roster is good enough to carry them, just like Oregon State did last year. And this roster is much better than that Oregon State roster. But for Christ's sake, be honest with yourself, Florida State fans. He looked rough. And I'm trying to not be super negative about this, but he did the same thing that I have criticized him for as a draft prospect, game in and game out, forcing the ball to covered guys and just letting the ball get knocked away or leading to turnovers. They got to figure something out. And I don't think it's swapping him out, but they got to have a different offensive identity. They can't throw the ball as much as they did last year.
I 100% agree with that statement. Joey went 12 of 26 for 177 yards and no touchdowns, no interceptions. But he also had an interception dropped. The completions were relatively simple, right? Like, I mean, a lot of passes that were those little pop passes. I mean, he had an off day. Now, the only thing that I will give him, because I give every quarterback this same type of, not excuse, but understanding. It's the first real, true, in-person live action that you have outside of practice with a brand new team. I want to give him, I give every quarterback the benefit of the doubt. But Joe, he's still below 50%, right? And I still think that it is a problem. They're trying to work in new receivers. I think, you know, their offensive line did not look that great. And you talked about how dominant that defensive line was. Mm-hmm. Joe, they had a couple of pair of sacks in the opening drive. The front seven had two sacks. At the 9:21 mark in the first quarter, Joe, they had already accumulated three sacks. So that offensive line did not look good. The secondary had a dropped interception I just talked about. But quite honestly, we're flying all over the place. This team is going to have to be built on defense and running the football. GJU is not going to throw you out of any games. You're going to have to be ahead. You're going to have to lead and continue to lead and suffocate teams defensively. But what we got, we got something that was put on Twitter that was out of context. Okay, on Friday, let me reiterate what I said last Friday to what we just saw on Saturday. He's the same exact guy. He's not progressing. There's nothing that I look at DJU, Joe, and say, all right, his footwork is better there. For example, the next team that we're going to talk about in Texas, you can look at a guy like Arch Manning and see constant growth. You see constant growth with quarterbacks when they're developing. Mm-hmm. I mean, for crying out loud, you literally saw it with the last two Heisman Trophy winners the year before and then the year that they won it, vastly improved. He's not improving. And I don't know if he wants to be real with you. I think that if it comes down to it, I think that Miami and Florida State are 1,000% the two most talented teams in that conference. I'm going to go with quarterback play. Joe, how long have you known me now? I always go with the best quarterback play. And Cam Ward will lead them to a victory, in my opinion, before DJU would. Florida State fans can be sensitive all they want to. But they got to look at the truth of what he is. He's not going to come in there and blow things out. And if he does against a really crappy ACC team, they'll be like, oh, hey, yeah. But we're not comparing you right now to those crappy ACC teams. We're comparing you to the top tier teams of where you want to be. And if you think that he's going to throw you into wins, I'm sorry, he's not going to. Now, what you mentioned, Joe, that might be one of the fastest front sevens we've seen all spring.
Yeah.
Ooh. Good God.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I'll give Mike Norvell this. He has gotten to the transfer portal and done and evaluated very, very good, man. And they are fast. They are physical. God, that defense looked really good, though.
So to round up the thoughts on DJU, he hasn't improved since that freshman year at Clemson. And that's why I've always been very reluctant to buy in on any team that he's pushing their offense forward. Ironically, I don't know if you remember this, but you actually, in a couple of the times that like we were arguing over who would win in an Oregon State game when they were playing somebody in a premier matchup, you actually were much more positive on him a couple of times than I ever have been. And again, ironically, you're the one who got clipped, which is, you know, it's funny that you're the shoes on the other foot. You get to finally feel what I deal with most of the time. But to kind of push forward there, Florida State fans, here's a positive note. You guys were able to win the ACC championship game last year with horrid quarterback play. You had two final games with two different quarterbacks with short weeks trying to get them prepared.
Better than that, by far.
I mean, even if he's as bad as Glenn and Rodemaker, even if he is, their defense dominated and their run game dominated in both of those games. And this is what the biggest positive that we noticed from this. Their defensive line's really good. Their defense is well-rounded and their run game's good. So there is a theoretical, actually not even theoretical. I still think that Florida State belongs in this conversation that they can win the conference because even when the quarterback play isn't good, which we saw last year, they have found ways to win. So if they beat Miami, say they play them twice next year, one in the ACC championship game and one during the regular season, they're going to have to beat them in a defensive battle and make them get into a duke out fight. You can't let Cam Ward beat you in a shootout. You will get cooked.
Yeah, I mean, him and Penix went after it last year. Joe, let me tell you one other thing about this. I thought their O-line play was not good at all.
Yeah, it was very shaky.
Very shaky. I worry about that with DJU. With Jordan Travis, you can get away with it. With DJU, you're not going to be able to. Sorry. No. So, as good as their defense is, I thought that in essence, offensively, they looked clunky. All right. And that's not gonna get you where you want to go. So you can say whatever you want about DJU. I thought he did not look that great. All right. Let's go on down to
We're back.
University of Texas, Joe, probably and arguably the biggest or most talked about spring game happened this Saturday with the University of Texas because Arch Manning went off. He went 17 to 21, 343 and three touchdowns. And then you had a big man touchdown. Anytime a fat man catches an interception and runs in for a pick six,
best
part of football. Okay. I thought Texas looked pretty good all around. Okay, like when we're talking about a team, like, hey, and the biggest question for Texas is all obviously going to be, can you come into the SEC and win? Now, they still got to answer that question. But I do think that they showed something more to me than what the starters would ever show. Hey, they got really good quality depth. I thought their running back room looked really good, Joe. The Baxter kid getting a couple of running some dudes over, how physical they were. Ryan Wingo, the freshman catching the long bomb. He may start, he may play, but if he doesn't, that's your depth piece. That is your second string dude. You're very talented there, along with DeAndre Moore, who I thought had a really good connection with Arch Manning, which, albeit a Manning, find somebody that no one's talking about and make him a household name with connections. And I thought that their O-line played well, especially in the running game. The biggest concern for me, all right, with the University of Texas. So, Joe, let's rewind the clock, 6 months ago or 4 months ago when we were talking about them in the playoff. And me and you both came on the show and said that Washington would eat them alive with their secondary. They were 93rd in the country in passing yards allowed. Joe, that secondary looked horrid again. They have not gotten better at that position group. The question becomes, if you're the same secondary coming into this conference, Carson Beck, all these other quarterbacks that you're going to face will have really good days against you. If your secondary is going to play like that. So I think all in all, at every position group, they looked really good. Mm-hmm. I thought in their secondary, they were very, very, very shaky. But all in all, really good day for the University of Texas.
there were way too many unencumbered guys that were able to fly up the sideline. Way too many. First team, right. Second team. That is absolutely still a concern. And I think that they should probably and will be a team with the portal going on right now that will probably be in the market for DBs. I'm blanking on the Arizona kid's name. There's a kid that's been in the portal for a minute now that I bet that they're trying to pick up the phone and get him to come. Or heck, I mean, I'd take a flyer on Cormani McClain and see if he might not be ready to play right away, but at least try to get some five-star guys into that room. I think that the depth at offensive line, defensive line, and at running back, and maybe even at receiver is tremendous. It's very underrated and a lot of credit.
Quarterback.
And a quarter. Yeah, the third and fourth string guys were dishing too. It was like, what? Where are these guys coming from?
Yeah.
Really good good job of forward thinking recruiting by Steve Sarkisian to bring in all these guys. Gives kind of, I'm not saying that they're Georgia, but gives like a Georgia vibe for how deep the roster is. I will say though, and of course I'm gonna stir the shit with this.
Here it comes.
I think that Quinn Ewers has the one bad throw and he looked fine. His typical Quinn Ewers performance where it's average and it's not great and it's just his one bad game. And as I said, when we did our quarterback rankings, he'll have one of those and then the next week he'll show up and he'll explode and he'll have a crazy game and he'll completely cook a secondary. He is very volatile. All I'm saying, and I said this to you pre-show, he is injury prone. He has gotten banged up before. Wait. You said this, and then we talked about this example. There is a realistic world where we could have a Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe type of a situation. I am not trying to predict an injury. I'm not trying to be that guy. If Arch looked that good, and he's much steadier than Quinn Ewers,
all right,
which he was in this game, there's a real shot that this happens. And what direction do you go in if that does happen?
All right. Okay. It's so funny. On Wednesday, you said that there were times that he is the most athletic quarterback on the field. Or talented or gifted. But here's the thing that you and I probably differ on the most. I don't care how talented he is. I would rather a better decision maker in college football than someone who's more talented. Okay. And there was the argument about Anthony Richardson. Okay. Quinn, Joey, and it's kind of to some extent a DJU thing. At what point do you look at him and say, why isn't the decision making getting better? There's no reason. You got to start hammering home on him when it comes to why can't that question be answered? And again, I will remind everybody, for anybody that wants Joe, he could do that in the Big 12 and get away with it. As someone who's been in this league and covered this league for almost a decade, I promise you, you cannot get away with those stupid decisions that he did, not only just Saturday, but he's done in his career. God forbid he does that versus a Kentucky, and then watch and see what happens. Because when you do that week in, week out, I hate the inconsistency. How about that? I hate the inconsistency we get from him. Let me flip to Arch because you brought him up. I watch Arch play. Joe, I don't really go to a lot of high school games. I saw Arch probably 7 times in the last 2 years of him in high school. Mm-hmm. And me and you had this conversation. What did I always tell you? He's extremely talented in reference to his knowledge of the game, his footwork, his mechanics, all flawless. What you would expect from a guy in the Manning family. But the discussion that you and I always had was, I don't think that he's physical enough to play right now. Well, I was watching that game yesterday, Joe, and he's bigger. He looks stronger. He looks more in command. He's maturing. And that's what you need to see from a kid in developing. Joey's more talented than Quinn Ewers by a long shot.
Well, okay. I don't think that's the right wording.
Joe, hold on. Decision making has to be a talent trait.
It is. It is. Okay. Absolutely is. And I understand.
He's already a better decision maker than Quinn Ewers.
His football IQ
is bigger than Quinn Ewers. Can you debate that?
No, because I haven't seen Arch play enough. We have one spring game, so I'm not gonna dive deep on that. Here's a fair take, okay? Because I hate getting too hot takey with spring games, is what I said in the open. I think that Arch Manning is going to have a better Texas career than Quinn Ewers. Simple as that. And the evidence was showed there. Any doubt on if he could capably start this year, I think, was removed. Is there still work that needs to be done? Yes, absolutely. Is he going to start over Quinn Ewers? No, that's not going to happen. But do I think that in year three, when he's ready to take over, that he's going to play really well and that the rest of the roster is probably going to be built up around him? As I talked about, the depth on that roster is fantastic. Their most realistic shot to win a national title is not with Quinn Ewers. It is going to be with Arch Manning next year in 2025.
He'd be the first Manning to do it. I agree. And it brings up a question that you've asked in the past. Why not have them compete for the starting spot?
When I brought that up, I was kind of trying to be salacious, deliberately salacious.
No, I know what you were trying to do. You're trying to get them clicks. That's what you was trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm saying. I was deliberately trying to be
salacious. All right, well, now come back to the point that you made that might now be right. Joe, you cannot
be a decision maker
in college football to win it all. You cannot be. I don't give two Rudy Poos how big his arm is. Screw his arm strength. But Joe, he's going into his senior year. At some point, he's got to know he can't make that throw.
Look, there is a reason why arm strength is important, because if you can deliver the ball quicker and into tighter windows, it is impossible to defend. And when he's been on, he has made throws that are really difficult to cover. But look, I will say, I mean, I made a ridiculous statement back in February saying that it's BS that Sark at least isn't allowing them to compete. And I think there's a lot more tangible, like, physical evidence now that we saw him play that he's a lot – not that he's good enough to beat out Quinn Ewers and that he would beat out Quinn Ewers, but they're much closer than people think that they are. That's the real only takeaway from that performance, is that they are – he's right up on them.
Now, Quinn did only play two series, but the reason that it's so bad is because of the decision that he made.
Yeah. That's why it's kind of hard to, like, compare the two, is the two series he played were – he is one of those quarterbacks who I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt in this conversation. He's one of those guys – he takes a little bit of time to get going.
Yeah.
He did it against Texas. He did it against Washington. He did it against Alabama. It takes him, like, a little bit to get going.
You say he did it against Texas.
You mean Alabama, Oklahoma, and Washington is what I meant.
I agree to that extent. If he finds a rhythm, he can be deadly. But it's just such bad decision making, though, Joe, that bothers the crap out of me. You have all this talent around you, and Joe, take the sack. Live for another day. Like, I mean, it is the hardest thing for young quarterbacks to understand. There's nothing wrong with taking a sack and punting the football. Nothing. When you have a defense like that, You can fight to live another day. You're not going to score on every possession. Now, there may be times where your defense is off a day and you got to pick it up. But I hate the decision-making. Let's get to Arch very quickly because we got to move on. Your thoughts on his performance of the day, though?
Oh, I thought he looked – I mean, everything I've said leading in this whole conversation, I think, sticks. I think that he could start on most teams right now. You know, I think that he is good enough that if he had decided to transfer, which didn't seem like he was going to do.
Start on half of the SEC teams right now.
Yeah.
Would you take him over Jackson Arnold?
No. Yeah, wait. Yeah, I would. I think that I would. I don't know.
That's the most female answer. Shut up.
That question threw me off. That question, I was like, yeah, I would. I would take him.
All right. You know what I wrote down in my handy dandy notes right here?
Yeah.
I wrote down what a rivalry it will be, Arch versus Jackson. That's going to be a hell of a quarterback duo once they get the chance to go after it. All right. Let's go over. Oh, God. Let's go up to South Bend, Indiana. All right, hold on. Let me give us a better end of that. Joe, we're going to your team now, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I'm sure we're about to get in a little bit of a debate here because you don't like anytime I say anything remotely negative about the Irish. But I'm, you know, I do this for every goods and bads, pros and cons for both teams in the spring game. But I'll kick it over to you. Your thoughts on Notre Dame spring game.
I think that defensively they looked very similar to last year, which makes sense because they brought back a lot of their talent. But I don't want to hear shit, Blake, about their offense because you know what? Kenny Minchie and Stephen Jelly were the ones playing quarterback. And you know what? Stephen Jelly and Kenny Minchie looked pretty good for backups. I think that that battle for the backup spot is going to be tight. And I think in the event that Riley Leonard does go down with an injury, which is possible because he's been inconsistently healthy, I wouldn't feel too scared. I wouldn't be too worried. But you can't sit here and criticize, because I know you're going to do it, their receiving game, their passing attack, any of that, when Riley Leonard didn't play in the game. I think that Chris Mitchell looked really freaking good, and I think that their receiving room has improved despite having young quarterbacks with no in-game experience being the ones throwing them the football.
In the beginning of the show, I said that they looked like they did last season. And you said, and you got upset with that. Then the first take that you have is...
Because I said defensively. You're implying that the receivers are the same as last year by saying that.
Joe, look, I don't need to tell you because you know I already feel this way, and I'll just say it. They don't – here's the question that I will ask you. It's not that I don't think that they're bad, okay? I don't think that they're bad. The – what was it, young blood kid, or I forget the young man's name. You know what I'm talking about. The little white – 19.
Oh, Christ. He's on the lacrosse team. Faison.
Whatever his name is, okay? I don't think that you're bad, but where are you wanting to go? Where does Notre Dame want to go? What is the end game? Because if the end game is Final Four playoff, then no, you're not good enough at that position. I don't think that you are athletic enough or fast enough. Joe, that offense right now, you know, gets destroyed by Georgia because they're not going to be a – they don't have the dudes on the outside. And when you have a team that can stop the run, that is what it is. But we're talking about the spring game. We're not talking about them facing Georgia right now. The first thing I wrote down, they're the same exact Notre Dame team. Take the quarterback play out of it. Big, physical – nasty on both lines of scrimmage that you're not going to want to face. They are good on both – good. They're well above average on both lines of scrimmage. They're physical. They're going to get at your ass. I think the worst thing about, you know, listening or watching their offense and defensive line this weekend was having to listen to Jason Garrett explain it to me, okay? They are the most – I will give them this. I think that Notre Dame, not even just this team, maybe even over the last decade, Joe, they are the P4, P5 most fundamental team that you'll find. Fundamentally, they are extremely sound. It's just my opinion. I just don't think that they're athletic enough offensively.
You're so off base with that. You're going to be this is one of the
– No, I'm coming from – you got to understand with the place that I'm coming from because – what did I see this spring? What did I see last spring? And you know what? Maybe I am putting them on an unrealistic pedestal. because this time last year, I told you that Malik Nabers was going to be my breakout player of the year. And I'm seeing these kids at LSU, and maybe I am wrong. Okay, maybe I am looking at that receiver room at too high of a pedestal. But the bottom line is, I don't see the speed. Now, that running back, number four,
Jeremiah Love is going.
That kid can play now, but
okay. But this is what I'm talking about. Is that like I feel like you're just you. I'm gonna say it. You don't want to give them credit for improving. Chris Mitchell is the FIU receiver that they brought in. Is a 4.3 kid. He had a nice long touchdown in the game. Okay, and I think him and Jeremiah Love are huge, explosive upgrades over what we saw last year. And you know what's a big benefit? We don't have fucking Jared Parker calling nonsensical backwards ass plays like he did last year.
Yeah, you completely upgraded to Mike. But I'm going to be real with you. Can I be real with you?
Yeah.
If you picked up the phone right now and called Denbrock, I guarantee you he would tell you the same thing.
He knows that he knows.
I guarantee you, Mike Denbrock would say that they do not have the explosiveness enough to get where they want to go. Not that they can't win 10 games. Joe, they're going to win 10 games because their schedule is much more lighter than it was a season ago. But the bottom line becomes, where's your ending point? Where do you want your ending point to be? Do you think that the offense that you just saw is more athletic than what you saw defensively from Florida State and Georgia?
Their offense, they went 10-2 last, nine and three last year with no receivers. Audric Estime was great, but they didn't have any juice.
That's like not
they
what have I'm
with
saying.
Jeremiah Love. Wait.
But that's there not what I'm saying, though.
They still went 9-3 with a more difficult schedule, and they ultimately had worse
sounds receivers. Good.
They have more. But this is my whole point. It's not really possible to know what their offense is going to look like because Riley Leonard didn't play in the game. And a lot of their problems were because Sam Hartman could not move. He couldn't. He was a statue.
And I will continue to ask you, just how confident are you? Joe, when you have a quarterback out for a spring game, you find out everything else that you need to know about your team.
I saw more explosiveness from the receiver room than they did last year, and they still went 9-3.
Okay.
They're going to the playoff.
Agree. I would agree. Have agreed. Again, listen to my question. What is your end game?
To get to the playoff.
Okay.
And to make it past the first round.
Okay. Well, then you're exactly where you need to be.
They're obviously, and I'm not dumb enough and as much of a homer to sit here and say Notre Dame's going to win a national title. Just like I think you're smart enough to say that you don't think that LSU is going to win a national title because they're. You need to be amongst the, you know, in this very small scope of four teams that are that elite.
And that is my point. Are you going to be the same team every single year? Because I will continue to tell you, what I continue to try to say, are you going to go 9-3, 10-2? Fantastic. But how do you progress to get to the next level? How do you get back to that national championship game?
This is what I'm saying, though, is that they are progressing. And for a team like Notre Dame that doesn't have ease of getting guys in academically, it's going to be a multi-step process. So if this upcoming year they go 11-1 because they've got a light schedule and they go to the playoff, they win a game and then lose their second round game, that helps them in high school recruiting. That helps them in the future. And they've already have a good foundation of high school recruiting. It's You've a step in the. This is a progressive step. We haven't been doing a show together for a decade.
No, the Notre Dame fan base has been saying that for a decade.
Yeah, and Brian Kelly couldn't recruit at Notre Dame, and he can recruit at LSU now. I don't know what to tell you. Marcus Freeman is out recruiting Brian Kelly comparably when the two of them were at Notre Dame. Not right now. In the first few years of Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman is out recruiting him.
And year four of Brian Kelly, Notre Dame had the number one class, and the following year had the number two class in the country before they went to a national title.
He's going into year three.
I understand that. but he still had the number one overall class.
I don't remember them having the number one overall class.
Yeah, it was like the Monte Teo class. They had like four or five five-stars. Either they were number one or number two.
We both know that is a different era of recruiting than it was back then.
Okay, and
the other schools are able to throw bread around.
You can be mad at me all you want to. I really don't. I mean, I do care, but then again, I don't care. It's just my opinion. I don't think that you have the super chats that you have the playmakers on the outside. I'm going to continue to say that. Elks with a $2 super chat says Blake, did Notre Dame learn how to count to 11?
Yeah, I didn't see any issues. They didn't pull a Florida.
They didn't. Can I tell you one last thing?
I'm afraid to, but go ahead.
I do think that their offensive line looked better than I thought that they would with some of the guys like Joe Alt not being there.
Charles Jagasaw is going to be the best sophomore offensive lineman in the country.
Best sophomore offensive lineman.
Actually, freshman technically. He's technically a freshman because he's a redshirt freshman.
We'll see. But I did think that they looked a little bit better than I thought that O-line would look. One thing you can't be mad about Mike Denbrock, though, and Notre Dame fans, you know him better than most. You got to let him cook. You just let him cook. Stay off his ass. All right. You want to go down to – we went to Texas once. Let's go back down to A&M. You want to go to Texas A&M?
Yeah, I don't think there's really much to take away from this one, so this one will probably be on the shorter side.
Mike Yoko in his first spring game as the Texas A&M head coach. Joe, I got to say something here. This, of all the spring games that happened yesterday, this was the most predictable. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's a Mike Elko-looking team. Going to be clunky at times on offense. Going to be really good on defense. What did you see?
Same exact thing that you just said. That I think it's going to take some time to kind of figure out what the offense is doing there. But, like, I'm not surprised that the emphasis here was defense. You know, Mike Elko is a hard-nosed MF-er when it comes to developing and building a physical defense. And they stole the show. And I said this in the open. Nick Scowerton, that defensive end, who came from Purdue. That is his the performance that he had in the game. I think he had
two tackles, a loss, a sack.
He had an unbelievable performance. Mm-hmm. And I think that if he ends up finishing the year as the best SEC or one of, sorry, not the best, but one of the best SEC defensive players, I wouldn't be shocked.
Here's the problem that I have with them. Let me say the good, then I'll get to what I thought the issue was. Joe, did they really get worse defensively? Because if they did, I didn't really see it. I mean, D-Lon, Shamar Stewart, and the guys, they had two sacks in the opening drive. They had tons of pressure. They were stuffing the run really good. Now, there were some long runs, okay, that they gave up, but, it is what it is. It's going to happen. But I really did think that defensively, I'm like, that's what a Mike Elko team should look like. The issue that I walk away from that game, though, with, okay, even though I thought the defense looked really good, and maybe you can give the offense a little bit of grace, because I do think that defenses are supposed to be there quicker than offenses when you're doing a complete transition. You know, like we've seen Saban, Kelly, not Lincoln Riley, even Brent Venables to some extent in the very beginning. Like, defenses are normally going to be better than with the offense because it's so much more install. But, man, they looked really clunky. And we praised, and I did too, that Klein might be one of the better play callers in college football. Well, he better learn very quickly. If you just your own defense is a really good SEC defense, you better find out very quickly that you better start getting north and south with these running backs besides going east and west, which is what he tried to do all the live long day. I thought that Le'Veon Moss was offensively was the biggest performer for them. The running back, I thought Reuben Owens didn't look too bad. Joe, they're going to be run the football, play really good defense. And I think for Connor Weigman's sake, in the early going of all this, with an offensive line that did not look good, you're going to have to take what the defense gives you. Even if you want to start pressing, Joe, they just look so clunky.
That's what I was getting at, that like I'm not really surprised by the fact that this is what they looked like, that their defense led the way and that their offense is going to take a little bit of time to figure out their identity. And their success isn't going to have anything, I think, to do with what they do defensively. Their defense increases the floor, but offensively is going to determine if they're a 7-win team, which I said a while ago, or if they're a 9-win team, as A&M fans think that they're going to be.
They're not a 9-win team right now.
Yeah.
They're not. They're not a 9-win team. But you know what the first thing, if we're going to talk about offensively, that that it's got to come away as the biggest walkaway or takeaway from Texas A&M? Man, does that offense look so much different than Jimbo.
Oh, my God. Yeah, creative.
Right.
Just a little bit more creative.
Yeah, a lot more creative. I think that they would think, you know, Texas A&M fans might believe that they look better offensively because of how bad Jimbo was and to where they are at the exact moment.
Right.
I still have a lot of faith in Weigman, okay? And I still think that he's a really good quarterback. The only thing for me is if he doesn't have protection around him, that O-line did not look good. I remember a play, I think it was in the second quarter, where the left tackle just got absolutely abused, and Skowerton, I think it was, got the sack. I mean, really just comes untouched. I mean, Skowerton's a really, really, really good player. But, Joe, there's a lot of really, really, really good players in this league. So, the most predictable. Elko better tell Klein, hey, man, you better start getting north and south in this league, because if you try to go sideline to sideline, you're going to get eaten up. So,
yep.
That is what it is. All right, do you want to get to Oklahoma before we get to the actually, you know what? Because we got Oklahoma, Michigan, and USC, Mississippi State. Can we take a quick break and then come back? All right.
I don't know if we need to get to all of those. I mean, at the very least, Oklahoma, Michigan. I still can't believe you want to talk about Mississippi State. I'm like laughing at the fact that you want to talk about Mississippi State.
All right.
They look like dog shit. I'm sorry. They
look like dog shit.
They look like a 4-win football team.
Joe, they have more offensive breakout players than Notre Dame will. You want to make a bet on that?
No, absolutely not. Come on now.
Okay,
stop.
Then make the bet.
Yeah, I'll make the bet. That is the perfect example of your bias, that you think that Mississippi State, with how sloppy that they looked in that game, both sides of the football, that they're going to have more offensive breakout players.
Okay.
In year one.
By the way, who's going to eat a hat this week?
If we made that bet for every time you were wrong, you would have eaten 10 hats by now, man. Don't act like you've got a perfect track record.
But you know what? I'm smart enough to know when I need to get my ass out of a bad situation. All right, so let's do this. We'll do Oklahoma, USC, and Michigan, then we'll just punt on the rest. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll come back, talk some Oklahoma or Michigan. I don't know, but stay with us.
Rufino and Joe Show is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RufinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RufinoRufinoJoe, RufinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
Hey, we actually got the draft this week. How about that?
Yeah, we're going to talk draft on Wednesday. Are you excited? You excited to talk about the draft on Wednesday?
No, I'm excited to talk about three players. That's about it.
And you want to come on my live stream on Thursday.
Okay. I do.
You just want to come on and take the victory lap and then get off. That's why.
Okay. No, I really don't. I really do like talking draft. You know what I hate more than any? You know what just gets under my skin more than anything? Like, let me tell you, I'll use one for my own person. Like, so for example, like these dudes continuously going after Malik Nabers, the Dove Kleeman.
Oh, yeah, because it's the idiots. It's either people that are bad reporters or who are aggregators.
Who the hell is Dove Kleeman?
He doesn't have any reporting or did you see that whole thing where he got exposed for like using another company's Twitter account that he found that like he had the credentials from like a long time ago. And then it was this whole thing. He was like using the Game Day, which is like a small startup media company. It's a decent company. Actually interviewed for a job there once. And he had the credentials at one point for some reason. So he kept using their account to berate people. Like he would go on people's comments on other people's stuff and posts and be like, you're a moron. Nobody respects you and stuff like that. And so the company had no idea who it was and they figured out it was him. So he's a total piece of shit. Yeah. I wouldn't trust a goddamn thing that guy says or the ML.
Okay. Well, that's the kind of people that I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because he's like, oh, I box every week, and Malik Nabers has never boxed before. I get in the ring with him then.
What the
get in the ring?
He said that.
Yeah, he said that. Because you know they're doing the hey rookie, welcome to the NFL, and Malik Nabers is doing cardio and he's boxing. He goes, yeah, I've been doing it every week. And what he means is I've been doing it every week since the season was over. You know, to get cardio and stay in condition. And he goes, I box every week. This kid can't box. Well, get in the fucking ring with him then, get in the ring with him. And you know what? You can ask Louis J. Ruffino. He put me in it. Get in the ring with me. I'll donate $5,000 to any charity of his choice if he gets in the ring with me.
I don't think that would be a very sizable weight class gap. You would probably kill him.
By the way, speaking of carnivore,
I didn't say carnivore.
24 down, man.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Gonna continue. All right, let's get to Michigan, because I think that the chat is going to explode if we don't talk about Alex Orji here. So let's get over to the University of Michigan. Joe, what did you see from them going into their first spring under a new regime?
Yeah, offensively, they are their quarterback situation is an unknown for me. I think that Alex Orji proved that he is the guy, but I don't know if they're going to be any good throwing the football. Like I have no idea. I'm being so honest and candid about this. I have no idea if Alex Orji can be a good enough quarterback for them to be good at throwing the football. I will say, though, their run game looked really freaking good. Their offensive line, despite replacing most of their starters, kind of like you mentioned with Notre Dame, I don't think is going to take much of a step back because they've recruited and developed at that position. And I think their defense looks menacing. They are going to be impossible to move the ball against. And this is part of why I'm saying I don't know if Alex Orji is any good, because he was going against one of the best defenses in the country. You know, they're not really losing a lot of guys defensively.
Yeah, but Orji was missing. I mean, the misses he had were very, very bad.
Yeah.
They were, Joe, like, okay. So,
you think, in all seriousness, do you think that they should try to, like, do you think they should pick up the phone for Jaden Rashada? Like, do you think that they should try and go
1,000%. 1,000%. John, Elks put us in this thing, but I saw this earlier. It was from Mr. Ohio. It was like from this morning. Joe, the throws that he had. I mean, Joe, he's missing a wide ass open dude 4 yards away from him. Like,
yeah,
very badly.
This is what I'm getting at, though. Is like, I don't.
But you know, but in fairness, you know who also had moments that they looked like this early in their career? Say his name. He's going to get drafted this week.
Jaden Daniels?
No,
Oh, JJ McCarthy. I'm sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to take the shot the way that I did. JJ McCarthy. Yeah, JJ McCarthy was incredibly erratic. But again, these are all, everything you're saying goes in line with what I'm saying. I don't have a take on Alex Orji because I don't know. It feels like I watched something.
You feel like they asked him to stay in the pocket, though? Yeah. It felt as if that he was told, stay in the pocket, don't run.
It felt like I was staring at a white wall for the duration of watching the recap of this, and I just don't know what I looked at.
In fairness, I would agree that the defense did not look bad, but when you're missing that badly, even into double, he better be glad he missed in a half of those double coverages that he threw into. Now, to your point, I got to admit, though, even as bad as he looked, both lines of scrimmage, though, Joe, Jesus Christ. I really thought going into the game on the game this weekend, I'm like, yeah, dude, they're going to take a step back, you know, whatever. And they surprised me, to be real with you. They 1,000% surprised me. You're looking at the throws, aren't you?
Yeah, I see what you're talking about with.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Oh, how this last one of these last ones. Holy shit.
I know. It's really bad. All right, hey, go to the first one. Can we pull this up? Would we get flagged if we pull this up?
Don't pull it up. Don't pull it up. We would absolutely get flagged. See, like, okay. I saw some of the early ones in.
Well,
like,
first off, let me give clarity. Hold on 1 second. Let me give clarity. This is the Michigan game. You can go to Mr. Ohio, but it spells Ohio 80H100. The first throw that he has, Joe, go to that first one. The bootleg where he's throwing it at the feet 4 yards. Then the second one on the drag route, Joe, he literally threw it 4 yards behind him. Then the third throw he had into triple coverage was 10 yards over the head of the receiver.
But this is, again, I'm going to just keep bringing back the same thing. This is why I keep saying I don't know what I watched, because I watched it.
No, you know,
and I don't remember any of, like, it's not that I don't remember it. It's just like it didn't register with me, like, how shit it looked. Because it just kind of looked like, oh, it was bad throw.
Looking at, you know why? Because if he would have completed the passes or been in the remote area, you would have been like, okay, he's in the remote area. It's just he's going up against a really good defense. But the simple nature that he's not in the same zip code as him.
But I will say, though, it's kind of tough to put all of the bad throws up against one another, because they're all gonna they're just gonna look increasingly worse and worse and worse. Because when you're watching it through the scope of the highlights of a game, you're not gonna like noticeably be like, fair. Wow, these are rough. But like when you line them all up next to one another, you're gonna obviously think to yourself, holy shit, these all look worse than the last one. There's concern. There should be concern.
Here's the thing. It does feel as if he was told not to run, and that is not his game. The second throw that he made when he stood up in the pocket, Joe, in a real game, he's taking off, and you know that he's taking off, right? And that's going to be well enough of a first down. So I will just remind everybody, even though, like you said, even though those passes are really bad, that second one he had, he's going to step up in the pocket and run and more than likely get a first down, if not more. So, big arm, really good runner. He's just inaccurate at the current moment.
Yeah.
And that's all that it comes down to. Really and truthfully, quarterback play is how far it's going to take him. You could say it for everybody, but they're talented everywhere else. They're good everywhere else. You know, I mean, good for them, man. I mean, I did not think they were going to be as talented everywhere else as I thought that they'd be. I'll be real with you.
Deep roster. Very deep.
Very
roster.
Deep. Don't say it, Blake. Don't say it.
Don't say it. Don't, I know what you're going to do.
So good for them. Let's go to Oklahoma. Joe, let's go over to the Sooner State. What did you think of the Oklahoma Sooners in their spring game? A lot of people walking away praising the new quarterback, Jackson Arnold.
Yeah, I believe that offensively they're going to be a lot more explosive than I think a lot of people anticipated. I think that their receiver room appears to have a lot more juice in it than they did last year. I do think that it is going to be tough sledding for them because of how difficult their schedule is. But man, I still feel really good about Deion Burks. I know that Elks, you know, commented on my post.
Tyrone Burks, right?
No, Deion Burks.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
The receiver.
Is it not?
The kid Deion from Burks.
Yeah, right.
It's Deion Burks. Elks commented on me posting and sharing one of the touchdowns from Burks where he flew up the sideline, catches a ball, breaks away, separates, scores a touchdown. Made fun of me, made fun of the situation, saying that, like, oh, how easy would it be if I, you know, if you were that wide open? But man, he looks good.
It is the first team corner.
Right. It's not like he's going against a bunch of slouches. I think that he is going to be a very productive receiver. This really solidifies it for me. I've already watched the tape. I know he's talented. And I'm expecting a big year for him. And I think that the offense is going to really lead them to success.
Okay. So I thought for a team, Joe, that the question around Oklahoma was their offensive line play and how it would be there. I am surprised at the push that they got in the running game. I'm actually very surprised. Now, I did think that David Stone, the big man in the middle in 96, I think Spears is his last name. I thought that they looked good in the interior. But that O-line, man, for as much as people were, you know, worried about him, really got some push on Saturday. However, the D-line did get some sacks. But, Joe, of a lot of those sacks that Jackson Arnold took, they were unwarranted. Did you notice – let me ask you this question. Did you feel at times that Jackson Arnold was indecisive? Because he took three sacks that are two sacks that I know for a fact he took that he didn't get the ball out. Either he was going through all of his reads and either people weren't open or he was late with the read and he couldn't throw it then. He had some really good plays and some really good throws. The two throws that he had to Burke looked like they have a great connection already. I think he was a little indecisive in some of the sacks that he took. But how much do you put on a young kid that is coming into a starting role? How much better will that get as he continues to take reps and running these plays? If we're looking at it as a one brain game incident, I do think that he had some indecisions. However, I did think that there were moments that you could see where he was a five-star. Secondly, Joe, their D-line was good. But, I mean, when you're coming into a spring and telling me that your O-line is supposed to be that bad and you got pushed around in the running game, I don't know what to make of that, to be real with you. I thought David Stone played really well, but I don't know what to make of that. If your weakest link isn't your weakest link at the end of the spring game, then what?
I think it means that you've coached up the group better than you anticipate. I think it has more to do with their offensive line being better than we think it was supposed
that,
to be.
Okay, fair. But I think there's also a reason that they're vividly going after an interior defensive tackle too, that a lot of these guys have hit under the portal. Yeah. Like they're going after the Williams kid,
yep.
CJ West, the kid Barrow from Michigan State.
Yeah.
I think that they know – I don't know. This O-line's not supposed to be that good, and they're getting some serious push.
Yeah, they got to get that sorted before the start of the season because they're not going to be facing offensive lines as weak as they did in the Big 12. They're going to be getting punched in the mouth a lot more with some of these teams that they're going to be facing. So that it could be a concern. You know, that absolutely could be a concern. But I feel a little, just generally a little bit better about Oklahoma than I thought I would after this.
I don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I still think that I don't think they didn't get to 9 wins in the SEC, though. They got a brutal schedule.
Yeah, and 8 feels like a real, you know, it feels like we're really dragging them down, but I think that 8 is a very fair schedule for them.
100% agree. You want to get to USC and then Jaden Rashada?
Yeah.
Okay. USC had their spring game this weekend, Joe. You know, I thought defenses were supposed to be vanilla during a spring game. Somebody forgot to tell DeAnton Lynn because he was sending blitzes. He was coming after the quarterbacks. They got multiple interceptions in this game, 3 interceptions in back-to-back-to-back series, one on Miller Moss. And then actually they picked off all 3 quarterbacks here. I got to be real with you. old DeAnton Lynn, I'm not trying to overreact to them defensively, but I mean, Joe, they might have caught more interceptions in the spring game than they did all of last year.
You gave me shit for putting DeAnton Lynn in my top five defensive coordinators. And you know what? I think that it is really impactful.
You're going to do that to a spring game?
Wait.
You're going to do that to a spring game?
Yes. Oh, my God. Dude, how much time did we spend talking about how god-awful that Alex Grinch coach defense
you
was?
You put him over Glenn Schumann.
Horrible.
Him over Glenn Schumann. That was the argument.
Because this is the point. He turned chicken shit into chicken salad, man. He was able to get something out of a group that was barren of not only talent, but coached talent. It was a group of guys that visibly did not give a flying F last year. They didn't go try and make plays on the ball. They didn't tackle. I'm not saying that they're going to be
spring game either. They played two-hand touch.
I'm not going to say that they're going to be a top five defense or something stupid like that. But if they take a step forward and they're in the top third of defenses, that's proof that DeAnton Lynn's a damn good defensive coordinator.
No one said he wasn't a damn good defensive coordinator. We just said he wasn't better than Glenn Schumann.
Respect him.
I'm going to continue to say this. I know that he had two picks in a spring game. One of them was horribly not on him, but the receivers got to make a better play. Okay, what did you think of Miller Moss before I get to him?
I've talked about him, and I'm not as sold. I don't glaze him as much as you do.
I'm not glazing him. I just think that what we saw it again on Saturday, he just runs the system. And
but I didn't think he would. I thought that he was fine. That's what I was trying to get at, is I thought he was fine. I don't feel like super excited about USC's offense next year. I'm much more excited about the defense. I think Miller Moss is fine. I do find it interesting. I think Lincoln Riley came out and basically said, let me find the quote, but he basically said like, oh, he's our guy.
Talking about Miller Moss.
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, I mean, 100% he's his guy. I mean, Ray Charles could have saw that coming. I mean,
after the game, Riley clarified that Moss would start on the for the Trojans if the season started today because of his experience. So he didn't necessarily say like he won the job, but he believes that he, because of his experience, gives him a leg up in the battle.
100%. I got to say this though about DeAnton Lynn's defense. That's not fair to him. The interior defensive line got pushed around.
Well, Barrett Alexander didn't play, so
I don't give two Rudy Poos. You can't get pushed around like that. Your backups can't get pushed around like that.
Fair, that's fair.
I mean, because those guys are going to play. Like those guys are interior defensive tackles are going to play. So
it's fair.
I'll be real with you. I don't know what to make of this offensive line. To be real with you,
yeah, dude. I think the fact that they lost that one high four-star kid whose name is escaping me that entered, he was a freshman, enrolled early, and then entered the portal. Like that to me is just kind of proof that their offensive line has just not been coached well, and it's not a very
good. Well, I thought they had a really good day.
Did you?
I mean, when you're getting that much push and that much run, they ran all over the place.
That's kind of to be expected.
Is it
against a defense
bad O-line with talent? Versus bad D-line. One was better than the other.
I mean, I don't think it's a Big Ten offensive line. I don't think that's good enough to be
fair. They got some skill players now. They got some serious
speed.
They got some serious speed now. So, look, I think their D-line was very suspect. The pick six, the receivers got to catch that. But they're just making more plays defensively, and it's good to see that they got some energy. And look, man, I will say this. Lincoln took a lot of heat and has taken a lot of heat for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We still got to relatively understand that he's somewhat of a young coach, right? Like,
he's been a head coach for long enough. I think he falls out of that category.
Sure. He's also in his 40s, early 40s.
It's not like he's 25.
Joe, you have coaches, premier coaches, some that are retiring in 65 plus. You have more head coaches that are 60 plus now, the top ones, okay? Lincoln Riley's the youngest of all of them. By the way, newsflash, Kirby's going to be pushing 50 plus too. Is 50 plus. He's close. I mean, he's a young coach, man.
Kirby's 48.
Okay, so he's about to be 50. He's pushing on 50.
I'm not giving Lincoln Riley the benefit of the doubt just because he's younger. He's been a head coach for long enough. He's supposed to be this brilliant wonderkin. You know, we can't now that things are getting hard be like, oh, Lincoln's young. Lincoln's young, so he gets a little bit of a pat on
the
back.
No, I can do that. You know why? Because I always said the same thing about him.
Fair.
I mean, I've always said this. Joe, he got thrown into two of the most premiered coaching or head coaching roles in the last 5 years. Okay?
And he's so overrated.
But what would he be properly rated? And who's rating?
He'd be properly rated at like 10 or 11.
No, he's overrated to whose rating?
He was overrated coming into the USC job. I think that the temperature on him was cooled nationally.
Fairish.
He was considered to be a top five coach.
He got to a New Year's Six game, more than what USC had done, okay, in a decade. And just a little bit of a newsflash. Bob Stoops, who was a Hall of Famer, had the same type of issues at Oklahoma that Lincoln Riley did. Actually, ironically, he had the same one. If I'm not mistaken, went 17 years at Oklahoma without a national championship.
He still didn't he get to a national title game? Am I crazy?
Yeah, he did. One or two.
So,
after that, 17 years.
We're comparing apples to oranges.
Okay. Here. Yes, I agree that we are, but let's not act as if that Oklahoma was this all be all team.
I don't think it is. I just don't think that he should have stayed at Oklahoma. I still stand by that.
All right. Do you want to get to this Jaden Rashada thing or wait till tomorrow? I think we should get to it really quickly.
Yeah, we can get to it.
Joe, the biggest portal entry so far, probably because he's a quarterback, has been Jaden Rashada from Arizona State. I know that you were shocked when he went in there, and I think you're even more shocked that he's visiting the University of Georgia, all places. Your thoughts on Jaden Rashada news?
I think that Jaden Rashada, as we both kind of texted about and as we've talked about, he's at Georgia right now. It would really benefit him to take the Dante Moore route. Sometimes it doesn't always work for these guys to play early. It doesn't always benefit them to get thrown onto the field early, especially with just a really foundationless situation like the one at Arizona State. I will say, though, if he doesn't pick Georgia, I'd be really interested to see if he would decide to go to Auburn or to go to Michigan. Because I think that he could not only contribute early, get on the field early, but he could help either of those teams win games. Right now.
Oh, God. It depends on what he fully believes is the best thing for him. I think he's better than Peyton Thorne. I mean, I do.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. But Georgia is kind of the best place for him to be.
Yeah, but it's very easy for him to end up at Georgia and then get lost in the mix. You know,
I don't feel like Kirby brings him in if he's going to get lost in the mix. Because think about this.
Like, how many kids is he promised playing time to? You know, it kind of gets.
But here would be my question. Why would you go and bring him in there? When Kirby brings a dude in for the portal, it's not rare, but it's like, damn, Kirby thinks he can play. Right? Like, I mean, it's not, I get what you're saying, and it would be Gunnar Stockton versus him, but it would just be like, why would you then bring him in?
Competition. I'm not saying he wouldn't start. I don't know. It's just a really crowded room.
So you think he should go to Auburn?
Yeah, I think you should go to Auburn or you should go to Michigan.
Well, shit, you tweeted on Friday that
I thought about it. I've had a couple of days to think about it. I think you should go to Auburn.
God, I feel like if
the Salter kid doesn't enter the portal again, which I you know is always possible that Hugh is going to go after a guy that he recruited.
All right, let me give you the reason why I think Georgia is the best place for him. Okay. Go ahead. I think it's the best place for him because, number one, he gets to sit back and learn. He gets to get bigger, stronger. Okay, his football IQ gets to go up. And he is – Joe, quarterbacks and if you're the guy, you don't worry about other guys behind you, right? And that's how coaches think. That's why how elite players think and why he would go there. He could sit behind Beck, learn a lot – develop, get bigger and stronger, and the stressor's not on him. He could Dante Moore it. He can legitimately and Joe, we got to get back to a place where young, talented kids come in like this that can sit and develop. I think it is the biggest thing that we get wrong as fans of college football. A freshman's got to come in and be light years better. I mean, Joe, you're about to have Manning, who we talked about earlier, sit for 2 years. So we expect, right? I think the kid needs to go somewhere, get developed, get healthy, get stronger, be in the right culture, okay? That's why I go. Now, if he wants playing time, go just a little bit more southwest and hit Auburn. They got a Buc-ee's there, okay? And you'll start. By the way, have you ever been to a Buc-ee's?
No.
What?
I mean,
we got to get you to the deep south. I'm sorry. We got to get you to the deep south. You are missing out on so many things.
I haven't been. I've been to Perth.
Their warm roasted pecans are the best thing that you'll ever have. Their pulled pork sandwich. By the way, they got 72 gas stations outside. Gas pumps, I mean.
We'll see if I make it there.
On your road trip back, you gotta see if you can find you.
Out of the way.
Find
to
you
go in the south. Yeah,
but nevertheless, that's what I think. Is there any other team beside that you would think that would fit for Rashada?
No, those are the only two because the Michigan and Auburn are a little bit.
What
more
about Michigan State?
Footing. No, because Childs is going to start. Childs was recruited by Jonathan Smith and
right.
Was that Oregon from State? Oregon State? Yeah, I don't think that he's
okay. Let me think of any maybe some other schools.
Those are the only two that I can like really think of that need a guy and that aren't total dumpster fires right now.
Yeah, I can't. What about Florida State?
Look at that. Full circle.
Full circle. I mean, are you 1,000% sure he wouldn't start over DJU?
I mean, he's better than him, but I don't think that would happen.
I don't think it'd happen either. All right. Oh, God.
Oh, stern shit.
Fuck him. Fuck him. Because I'm so tired of that emotional ass fam. Bro, you know what I am? You know what? I feel good about it. You know why? Because the only other guy that they went after this like was Kirk Herbstreit. So I'm just a Bayou version of Kirk Herbstreit.
Sure, let's go with that. That definitely makes a lot of sense.
We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.